Hello and welcome to the DLTV podcast. My name's Andrew Williamson.
And I'm Mel Cashin. In this episode, it's part of a series that will focus on what's going on in digital learning and teaching. We've got some exciting podcasts planned for the upcoming weeks that you'll need to stay tuned for. We talked to some of the authors of articles in the DLTV journal. We've got some keynotes and presenters from the DigiCon conference that's coming up. And tonight we're going to find out about one of our member schools and what they're up to.
Today our guest is Rob Flavelle, who is Head of Critical Thinking at Eltham College and in the past was Director of ICT at Trinity College. From implementing and driving large school-wide one-to-one programs to teaching computing and robotics, Rob has been at the cutting edge of digital technologies in education. Welcome, Rod, to the DLTV podcast.
Thanks, Andrew, and thanks, Mel.
Great, Rob. So I'm just really interested about that Head of Critical Thinking title. It's not a title I've come across before. So could you just explain what the Head of Critical Thinking does at Eltham College?
Yeah, I think the Head of Critical Thinking at Eltham College spends a good deal of time explaining what the Head of Critical Thinking does. It's an interesting role in that it was essentially a role created for me, and I think each day I largely define what it is to do it. But in short, it's like an internal project manager. I do a lot of work with, as I say, various projects internally, looking at elements of educational policy, building projects, connections with government, with community and the like, and trying to establish whether through our college strategic plan and charter, whether or not it actually meets the objectives that we've laid out as a community. But it also, I do a lot of work with teachers one-on-one, helping them teach with technology. That's something I've done for many years. I've also done, I continue to do work with students. I do a lot of work in their help desk, actually. My office is based in the tech centre or the technology centre, so where students will come to get support when an issue arises with their device. And so we, students come through and I find myself often supporting them and hearing how they're going and what they're doing and more or less troubleshooting. My background includes a little bit of coding. I was a developer for a little while, so I still do a little bit of that as well. So you can see sort of a bit of a general dog's body. I do a bit of guest spot work too in classrooms and team teaching and coaching and all those sorts of things as well. So, yeah, it's fairly varied and certainly keeps me on my toes.
Fantastic. As someone who's had over 20 years experience working in the digitech EDU sphere, what are some of the changes that you've seen? And how are things not changed? And what do you think should be changed?
Ooh, so nice small question. I think probably the biggest change in the time that I've worked in schools, which is sort of from, I think 97 was when I started teaching. So it is 20 years, yeah. Is probably connectivity. I remember actually starting at Trinity in 2001 and being blown away because they had wireless in 2001. And that actually, while we sort of think it's sort of commonplace these days to sit in a room and have an email pop up or be able to watch a YouTube clip or whatever, in 2001 that was pretty amazing. And I think obviously things dramatically changed in that area. Kids don't have one device anymore. They have perhaps a school device, a home device, an Xbox. They've also got, a phone, maybe an iPod Touch, iPads, all these things, and they have so much access to devices and connected devices, which, represents a huge change in schools, mostly for the good, sometimes not so. But I think, that's probably the largest change. I worry a fair bit about the effectiveness of technology use in schools and the way technology is used by teachers and students. I guess I'm probably disappointed that perhaps over that time I thought if I'd have looked looked ahead and forecasted what I thought I'd be seeing in 2017, I would have thought that it wouldn't be still an activity insofar as teachers are concerned that would be one for the enthusiast still. Like, I find that in most schools there'll be someone who's on the teaching staff perhaps is still perceived as being a bit of a tech guru or, you know, someone who's the go-to person. And I suppose that's fairly natural to some extent. But I think that it's still a little bit odd that we haven't moved on as much as I thought it would have, and that it would be more common in everyday use without people necessarily thinking about it or focusing on it. And so that's, I guess, a bit of a disappointment. I think I would have thought that, and I think insofar as change, I think people still have this perception that kids are good with computers. And I'm not sure that that's the case. I think kids are humans too, and I think that it's a bit of a misconception that kids are just naturally good with technology. They're just not. Some have a predilection and a talent and an interest in those, so they pursue it, and perhaps they'll become the enthusiasts of the future. But hopefully, it's more generalized than that, and it becomes, as I say, less of something for the enthusiast. I think we need to, in schools, perhaps see more development of user resilience and things of that nature, so that you're not seeing people when they have a little bit of difficulty or something doesn't work quite properly, their microphone doesn't sound quite as it should on the call, that the wheels don't fall off and they run for the hills straight away. And I see a lot of people coming into our tech centre, and I used to see it at Trinity, and I've seen it at other schools, and certainly when I talk to my peers in other school environments, they tend to echo those sentiments insofar as teaching staff and students and I guess community. I'm not even sure that the community has necessarily got a grip on what's possible. Certainly not insofar as what's possible in terms of learning with technology. So, there's so many things. As I think about it, BYOD is just seemingly a distraction. Actually teaching with technology is the funding model, but it seems to dominate conversations, and that's sort of disappointing. The other one that really gets me is schools that have technology and certainly have one-to-one programs will often cripple the technology. They'll put locks and filters and blocks and don't give administrative rights to students, and that really annoys me. I've got a bit of a shopping list there of things that I would love to see changed more generally. I mean. Certainly, Eltham give students full access to their device, and their internet use is monitored, not blocked. I mean, we block some obvious things, but we don't make a business of getting in people's way. If they've got an interest and want to pursue it, then we're trying to enable and empower, not get in people's way. And I still hear schools that are not doing that, and that's disappointing. And I'd like to see that change. There's often conversations at conferences again about how best to block and how best to manage and control. And that's, as I say, something I would love to see changed.
Now, it's interesting you're talking about like that sort of that idea of control. I know you've mentioned that you work within the tech centre, and I know you've got some really amazing things happening at a technical level, and the networking that you're doing around your IT manager forums. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I think it's 10 years ago we started an IT managers forum or group, and really that came about because a few of us who were in roles relatively new as directors of IT in schools were looking for support. And, you know, it's difficult in those managerial roles. I was director of IT at Trinity. It's difficult to find people who you can ask questions of and, you know, find out a clear direction, particularly in the independent sector where you are alone. There isn't a department to refer to, or a Catholic education office to refer to, or to seek information. So we started meeting for lunches, and then eventually created an actual network, and we meet, and that's grown now to something like 300 members. And we run various events. We try and have a meeting once a term. We've got a meeting coming up later this term. But in August this year, each year we try and run what we call a device showcase. And again, this is one of those support things that we do for people. There's no cost to be a member of the group. Although we're talking about incorporating the group, in which case we may charge a small membership fee. But the goal is to provide this connection and service to members so that we can support one another. And running events like our device showcase, which is on the 16th of August this year, it's actually at Eltham, where we get device manufacturers like, you know, Microsoft and Lenovo and Toshiba and Dell and the usual players all come and talk about the device that they would ordinarily pitch into the education sphere for the following year. Last year we had over 100 people and representing more than 60 schools across all sectors. The day is very much embraced by the vendors. I suppose they like to be in front of schools that are going to spend money on their products without having to spend a great deal. Because we don't charge the vendors very much. It's just the cost of running the event. Everyone comes together. They get an opportunity to speak to the members. And it really is a valuable day for a lot of people. And I guess that's what I've gained out of working with that network is the strong connections and support that we all have for one another. So that's some of the work I've been doing sort of beyond a school and as part of the community of IT managers. Yeah.
Well, that allows us actually to have a bit of a segue into talking about like events and I guess that community. Andrew and I are going to have a little bit of self-promotion. We know that you've been a regular participant to the DigiCon conference as well as VITA conference and ICTEV conferences before that. I'm interested to know like what you get from being a delegate at a place like that and why people should attend.
I've presented at a lot of those conferences as well, and certainly I did at VITA and I haven't presented at DigiCon. But as an attendee, I derive a great deal of value out of connecting with my peers, much like I talked about with our network. It's a wider group of people at conferences like DigiCon and those sorts of events where you're connecting, you're networking, you're building a group of people, meeting face-to-face. And, you know, it's so much easier afterwards if you've spoken to someone in person to pick up the phone or, you know, set up a visit and connect with them and follow up on ideas that you've seen, problems that you're encountering and so forth. So for me, the greatest value is actually about connecting with other people and doing similar kinds of roles in other schools because they can sanity check what you're doing. So that's where I really derive value. And, you know, obviously there's some pearls of wisdom. Hearing what people are doing in other schools is fantastic. I always love to hear what doesn't work as much as what I hear. Like to hear what does. I'm always skeptical about when I hear this worked well, and they never talk about what didn't work. But they're the pearls of content. But still, the greatest strength I think is connecting with other people and the good that comes with community.
Yeah, speaking of community, I hear that UML have recently been participants in change.school, and I was wondering if you and Mel, for that matter, could tell us a little bit about the course and some highlights and inspirations from participating, because from afar, it sounds like it's been an amazing experience.
From my perspective, it was extraordinary. It was kind of it was unlike anything else that I've really been part of. in terms of a professional learning experience, it's not really a course. It's the way it's sort of structured is a collection of provocations set out over an 8-week period where it's Bruce Dixon and Will Richardson have run this Run Change School, and they'll throw provocations and which they ask you to reflect upon over a period of a week, and they connect via video conferencing, and you have these face to face meetings with your peers as part of Change School. And I think those sessions, talking with other educators, and again, it's about community, is astonishing. The wisdom in the room or the virtual room is quite extraordinary. And I think for me, it's what I found is trying to articulate what it is that I thought we were trying to do was a really powerful thing, and then having people check that and rephrase it and help me come to some sense of what it is that I was trying to do, make sense of what I was trying to do in the context of my own school. They have this notion of a playbook that you build over the time, and the playbook can essentially take any form. It's up to you, and it took me a little while to sort of bring together how I wanted to organize my playbook for my school. And I think probably the biggest challenge for me, as I suppose, is it was more the fact that I was in Australia and there were a few participants from Australia, Mel being one, but most of the participants were in the US. And as I said, those Zoom sessions were brilliant when there were more people in them. And I did tune in on, you know, 4 or 5 sessions at different times to connect with larger groups, and that was brilliant. But I just couldn't be there for all of them. And I guess if you had more time, you could go to all of those sessions. It was incredibly valuable because you could, I guess, dip in and out. And I don't know, I'm interested to hear Mel's reflection on her experience as well.
Yeah, very much the same as you. I think the idea of it being part of a community was amazing. And especially, I think, from a leading point of view around making change, we often talk about like sort of isolated parts, but this was really all of the tools and the conversations and the thinking and the reflection that you needed to do to actually make some of this change happen. So I thought that was really important. And I found it was interesting in the way that like the course was set up, or the that Change School was set up, where you had a little bit of time at the beginning where you were in the community and just talking through sort of written posts and using some of the features of Zoom, which is actually the new Blackboard Collaborate. So for people who are familiar with Blackboard Collaborate, they've rebranded and made the new tool Zoom and Mighty something, I think there is. There's a couple of things there as part of it. But so you sort of got to know people and you're just talking, but then as you get into it, that you're having these face-to-face online meetings, as in like people are coming in real time, and that you're making these connections and hearing what they're talking about. And then afterwards, you've also got an opportunity to go back and reflect and write one for you personally in your playbook, and the things that's like I tried to look at as my manifesto, this is what I'm going to do as a leader. And then also having the opportunity, as Rob said, like with the other sessions that you might not have made, being able to pop back and listen to the recording of them and hearing some of the conversations that happened when you weren't there. So it was really interesting the way that you sort of had these different elements to it. And even if there were times where you sort of couldn't make it in via video, that you actually had time to come through and look at the readings and the other reflections that people were doing. So it was it was really powerful, and I think really talking about the how to change. It was like a nice, really nice set of tools, a suite of tools that you were given around how to make change. So, and I know it's one of those things that's always difficult. We always think about where we want to get to, but how do we get to that place? Yeah. So I feel like I've got a tool belt full of things now that that I'll be able to use. So, yeah, so I found it really, it was very inspiring and really a great thing to be part of. And I feel like the community is going to live on. Like, you can see the connections already that we've made that we'll continue with. So it's been really good.
Yeah, I think that the connections afterwards have been really strong. And I love the way they've made it so that the network is a persistent one, so that you can continue to, one, look over all of the provocations and all of the responses and all of the videos and all of the conversations which took place over the 8 weeks. It's not gone. It's accessible. And when you need to go and be reassured or reminded of that was a really good approach, or that, and to that kind of issue, or how did that person use that particular tool? That was so powerful and so effective in a school. It can be so effective in a school when you're isolated, perhaps, or you don't have other people to talk to about the kind of change that you're trying to bring about. And there was a lot of conversation about what that change should be, which was also very rich. So it's hard to articulate because I've not ever done anything quite like it. But apart from explain the experience that I had, and I guess it sounds like that Mel had too. But it was exceptionally rewarding, and I think will be of real value over time too.
So it sounds like you'd both highly recommend it for round two, change.schools.
Yeah, yes, I think
for anybody.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that they're taking sign-ups now. Not that I'm here to advertise for them, but that they're. I think it will persist as a concept. I know Change School 2 is about to start, but whether they do a 3 or a 4, I can't imagine them not. It was a really positive experience. Yeah.
So I was wondering if you both could give us one. So you both sort of mentioned a toolkit, just perhaps a tool for change that you could describe that you might be able to use if implementing change in a school.
For me, it'd definitely be the telling the story. So really thinking about how we're talking about the stuff we're doing and highlighting the great stuff that's going on.
Yeah, I think that's some fantastic stuff. I think one of the really practical tools they did was to introduce this notion of a change grid, which is not dissimilar to what you might see as part of a design thinking process, where you sketch out a bunch of ideas in a grid, and then or things that you want to achieve, and it's something about. It's like a to-do list, in effect. And it sounds so simple, but I think actually having this simple format for presenting your ideas and your action items and marking them off as being done or in process or where that particular is at is helpful for you to actually ensure that the change that you're attempting is actually progressing and not just something that you talk about. You know, often think about my title as head of critical thinking. It can't just be thinking, it has to be action as well. And I thought that was actually quite, while it's simple, it's actually about getting people to do something, have a go at something. And I think that for me was one of the things that just jumps out. But there's so many things over the 8 weeks that to pick out something is tricky.
Well, look, Rob, thanks very much for coming along onto the DLTV podcast. It's been great having our short conversation. I'm sure we could go on for forever, and I know that you and I have in the past. Is there anything else you'd like to add or say before we round it up?
No, I guess it's just it's good to talk to people doing good things, and it's great, a great thing that DLTV are doing. Always a good conference, and it's good to just be talking about these things in our community. So, yeah, good to have the opportunity, and I've enjoyed listening to the podcast as they've gone along. So, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Rob. Well, it's been great to have you on and chatting to it, and we do love hearing all of the stories from people who are out there and doing really amazing things. So it's been really worthwhile. I do just want to mention before we finish up that we've got some events coming up at DLTV. So we've actually got two regional events that are just hot off the press and gone up on the website in the last day or two. On the 7th of June, we'll be in Bendigo, looking at sort of the digital technologies hub and different resources and things that people can do, and also in Shepparton on the 8th of June. So that same session will run again. And, of course, the DigiCon conference that's coming up, it really is our main event for the year, and we are really looking forward to it. We've got four amazing keynotes, and that will take place on the 27th and 28th of July at ACU in Melbourne. So we hope to see everybody there.
And there looks like there's an amazing list of presenters for the conference too. They're all, the speakers and the presenters are all up on the website as well. So if you're interested, get along, have a look at the DigiCon website. It'll be in the show notes, and register.
Right. All right. Well, that's all we've got time for. So thanks again, Rob, and thanks everyone for listening.
Thank you. Bye.